Tommy, we're back.
We are, mate. Happy Australia Day.
Yeah, mate, you too.
We're a couple of days late, but we were fondling each other down at Phillip Island once again.
Once again, bro, that place cannot keep us apart. It's wild.
It was stunning down there. They had some racing at the track, but we did not see that track once. We were on the beach or at the pub.
Yeah, we're at the beach and the pub.
So, no, it was good.
Drinking beers.
Hope everyone had a good long weekend. It was hopefully everyone's safe and sound of this heat and hopefully bushfires aren't affecting people too much here in Victoria.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. It's pretty scary this time of year. But sorry for getting the episode out there a bit late for everyone. But yeah, we're too busy enjoying ourselves drinking beers. That time of year.
We were.
It's calm before the storm.
We've got a very special episode tonight. We're going to dive deep into the controversy that surrounds Phillip Island and the Australian future of the Australian Grand Prix. It's something that is very close to our hearts.
Yes.
And we know a little bit of information. There's a lot of misinformation, and we're going to dive deep and work it out together and talk to each other and see if we can come to a solution and find out what the history of Phillip Island and why it came and why it went and why it came back, etc. So it's
and what they should do, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Our opinions of what they actually should do moving forward.
Yeah.
The fans know best.
The fans, well, it's bro. If there would be nothing without the fans, that's sport worldwide, you know? So,
but I've got some of the fans. 100%. But I've got some interesting points that I want to bring up. Tommy, OG sponsors, motorheaven.com.au. Always give them a shout out at the start of the pod. Our OG friends, we love them. Head to motorheaven.com.au, guys. We wouldn't be here without them, that's for sure.
Yes, appreciate that. Guys, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, loving everything you guys are doing. Like, subscribe on YouTube really helps us in the future with the pod. And another special announcement, James. We just got to get around on-track experiences.
Yep.
So the guys up there, it's a new project that we're involved with as well. So it's hospitality to every single race in the calendar or a single race for this year. Hospitality with MLAV, Joel Kelso's new team for this year. The packages are awesome. So ontrackexperience.com, get involved. Expresses of interest we're looking for. So, yes.
Love it, mate.
Yes, thank you.
Love it. Mate, Phillip Island is a future under genuine threats. That's, I guess, what we kind of want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on this the whole time. I think, I still think it's safe.
Mm.
I think the future is good. I think it's a negotiation at the moment between governments and council's got nothing to do with it. So I've done some digging. Bass City Council's spoken to them during the week. They got nothing to do with it.
Mm.
They're just innocent bystanders at this point. So it's not going to the bend. South Australia don't... yes, they'd be nice to have it, but they haven't got their hands up sort of offering money or offering any of this. There's no discussion between the South Australian government and Dorna. So in my opinion, it is going to be at Phillip Island ongoing, or it's going to be not in Australia at all.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. You've been pretty hard on that. I guess the episode is going to be about why Phillip Island matters, why it was lost before. You know, a lot of people forget that it did go to Eastern Creek back in the 90s. Why it came back, why it's under threat again, and what could realistically replace it, which is... I've got a couple of thoughts on it, and we're talking about this today, but it's there's a lot of genuine interest from around the world now with Phillip Island and where it's at. You know, it is one of the best spectacle tracks to see on TV, to be there in person, and it would be a shame for a lot of different reasons if it does leave.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I remember sitting down with Joel Kelso about 2 years ago, and we had that conversation. He goes, it's going. It'll be going. You know, they're building a new track in Tullamarine, which...
Avalon,
that hasn't broken ground just yet from more reports.
Yeah.
And he was so certain about it, and we were like, no, God, could it? I mean, like, you know, for me, it's something that I can never see happening. And probably I've still got a little bit of that, you know, bit of blind side of going, I don't see it leaving. I really don't. But, I mean, as you said, anything's... anything's possible.
Look, anything is possible. When just going back onto the Bass City Coast Council, so like the local council of that region, why don't they have any play in this? Because isn't it like wasn't the facilities going to be upgraded because a hotel was going to get put in and they rejected the hotel?
That's still up for debate.
Okay.
That hasn't been confirmed. No one can confirm that for me or for us, I should say. The Bass City Council have the event given to them, obviously, by the Victorian government, but they have got absolutely no say in the contracts or if it's coming or going. It is all up to the Victorian government and Dawn of Sports as a whole. There's a negotiations going on of money and future and, yes, facilities. But at the end of the day, Lindsay Fox, who owns the circuit, doesn't want to spend the money because the Victorian government are the ones with the contract that with Dorna. He's got nothing to do with the contract. He just gets the circuit, to a certain extent, rented, you know? So why should he go and spend the money on updating the circuit or the facilities when Dorna could just turn around and go, no, we don't want the contract anymore? So that's the big thing. Yes, the hotel is something that has come into it. Is it factual 100%? No, not 100%. But there's definitely some toing and froing between, obviously, the council and Lindsay. But the real player in this is the Victorian government and Dorna's negotiations.
Yeah, interesting. Because the first time I've heard about all this and the breakdown, I guess, in the communication, all this is that rumor of the hotel.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 2-3 years ago now?
Yeah. Definitely. But again, it's definitely something that, could have happened and probably has happened. But at the actual backbone of this issue, it's not the major issue. From all reports.
Yeah.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. Well, you've got E to the ground people in Phillip Island. I've got living people, in Phillip Island.
Yeah, I've got people scratching around the surface at the local council level to find out some more information, and they've put their hands up and said, "We don't have anything to do with this. Yes, we have some suggestions and a little bit of input here and there, but for the contract of the circuit, nothing to do with them."
Yeah. So Phillip Island hosted the first ever MotoGP Grand Prix back in 1989. Huge event. Now, it was only supposed to be for 1 year. They lost it in 1990 for contractual agreements. Then it went to Eastern Creek from 1991 to 1996, which a lot of people forget. And then it was back to Phillip Island from 1997 onwards.
Yes.
Now, going on to why Phillip Island was dropped, you just found this out just before the pod. It was the role of the tobacco sponsorship in the late 80s and 90s.
Yeah, so this is something that I wasn't made aware of, but from all reports, the lovely research James has done is Victoria had tobacco sponsorship laws at that point, and New South Wales didn't, and Dorna, Yeah, the owners of MotoGP back then, you know, tobacco sponsorship was probably the number one thing keeping them going. So
the anti-tobacco laws, Victoria was very, very strong on. And they lost, I would have been the Grand Prix, the Formula One, because they lost that to Adelaide. And then Eastern Creek, obviously, of the MotoGP from Phillip Island. After the first ever one in 1989, won by Wayne Gardner, who's obviously the Aussie, was huge, massive.
Well, the F1 never went to Melbourne before.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That makes sense.
But it's
a
good point. And maybe it did go to Adelaide at that point in time.
Yeah.
Because of those laws. It's an interesting take, which I haven't thought of.
Yeah, so it was a huge, battle with the government to bring Phillip Island back into the fold. And it took, 5-6 years. You know, and then the Victorian government obviously folded, and that was, if you're a local, and I guess this tailors, to more local people in Victoria or Melbourne or Australia, it was really because of Jeff Kennett. He was the man that brought the Grand Prix back to Melbourne or to Melbourne, MotoGP back to Phillip Island, to bring all this money back into the local government. And it made Phillip Island a destination.
It did. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It did, and it put it on the calendar for a lot of people, and there's a lot of reason. The infrastructure's down there, all the restaurants down there. I mean, my mum and dad lived down at Phillip Island, and they went out to Pino's last week for dinner, and obviously
unbelievable, they actually went out and gave their hard-earned money to someone.
I said, did you find a coupon in the mail or something? I mean, Jesus. But Rosa, obviously everyone knows Rosa. Yeah. She's very well known in the MotoGP paddock as well, with a lot of the Italians, but she's there. She's having meetings with government officials, and she obviously wants it, not from a personal point of view, because the money she would make over that weekend, but also as a Phillip Island as a whole, it's the last big event for them.
Mm.
I mean, your superbikes, we know how we feel about that. And obviously, there's no VO supercars there anymore.
Yeah.
But in saying that, Phillip Island's not going to finish because obviously there's no MotoGP. We were down there over the summer, fucking out there pumping. But you know, they're building a new luxury hotel there. That would be sold out, obviously, for MotoGP Week. And there's a lot of money, $20 million it brings to Phillip Island every year. But the big issue is, James, the big issue is the Victorian government lose $20 million every year bringing the Grand Prix to Phillip Island. So that has to come into it as well.
You said the Victorian government was also losing money when the Formula One was coming in.
They did.
From, you know, before the Drive to Survive era. Is that correct?
They were. So they were losing money. Now, yes, losing money out of taxpayers' dollars, but the money comes back to the restaurants, the hotels,
correct.
GST, everyone pays GST. Is that taken into it? Probably not.
Mm.
So as a whole, it's still worth having these events because the amount of money people come and spend, and you pay 10% tax on everything you buy. You've got to remember that as well. So the Australian government as a whole, It would be worth having these events coming to Australia, but at the end of the day, cost that much money, they lose that much money on tickets and organising the event that they lose $20 million bringing the bikes to Phillip Island.
It's a very interesting take.
But if it was at Albert Park, it'd be double that. You know, they'd lose double that, I'm telling you. It would cost that. Yes, they'd get more people to the event, but it'd be astronomical to spend to get that track. First of all, they'll have to change a lot of things. And second of all, they've got to close the streets down. They have to build all the fences, build all the infrastructure. That'll be a lot of money every year.
Well, that's what we've been talking about. And that's like, I guess one of my points though is, you know, to spend, this is why I think the Albert Park discussion is very interesting, but I don't think it's a viable take. I don't think it's going, I think it's all a bluff.
Yeah.
Now,
a lot of fluff.
Yeah, it is a lot of fluff. But to just say, if they don't want to put money into Phillip Island, why would they put money into Albert Park, which is going to cost tenfold?
Make sense.
To make the because you got to think, Albert Park is not ready for bikes at all.
Oh, God, no. It's not even like, for me, it's not even like, it's a silly discussion to have.
It's a silly discussion.
Like, and again, we spoke about this maybe on the Patreon a few weeks ago, but that back straight, that long left-hander, the fence is 10 meters away from water. How are you supposed to make that corner safe?
Nah,
you can't build a track through the golf course. That was a suggestion by someone. I mean, they can't just destroy a golf course.
Golf course, yeah.
They could. True, but it just destroys, like, you can't play it on that golf course anymore. They can't just build a road and pick it up again. You got to build a road and leave it.
Yeah.
You know?
Not a scalestics track.
So, chicanes and stuff, yeah, that could be an option. But, like, look at how horrendous that Hungara Balaton Park is, because they just had to put these fucking stupid chicanes in and just made it more dangerous.
On paper, though, the Albert Park track would suit motorcycle racing.
Wow. Okay. Talk about this.
I think it lends itself first to motorcycle racing.
First turn, 100%.
The whole track.
Yeah.
The whole track works because it's actually high. It's a high speed track.
Yeah.
It's not slow. There's a lot of opportunities for passing. It's wide. The only issue is the runoffs. Like, yeah, you're right. There's not enough runoff. And even when there is runoff, and I was talking to someone about this today, if you just say lose a front, or you lose a front and kind of pick it up and you're in the gravel trap, you don't have enough room. You don't have enough room to, you're basically looking at the wall coming at you and you're going to bail.
Yeah.
And like that comes up real quick.
Yeah. I just don't think, MotoGP has never gone to a street circuit ever before.
Yeah.
There's not been anything close to a street circuit. But for me, it's just not the experiment that I think it's worth doing.
But if there was going to be a street circuit that lends itself in the world, and look, I'm just pulling this out of my ass because I don't know many, besides the ones like the Formula One calendars. If there's going to be one that lends itself to motorcycle racing, I believe Albert Park's probably the best one.
Mm.
And from that, and look, I'm just trying to look at it from all different angles on why Albert Park could work, which I don't think it would. But if you wanted to grow the sport in Australia, that's the place where you would do it. Because, okay, let's say Albert Park Formula One gets like 450,000 through the gates, 420,000 roughly. I reckon, and I don't think I'm sticking my neck out for this, if Albert Park hosted the MotoGP you would get 200,000 through that weekend. Now, the reason for that is...
Before I even respond, he's already responding. Can I say something?
Go on.
I think you're on the money.
Yeah.
Because I think we asked the head of Fox Sports that day in Burium, in the media center, and said, what's the percentage of people watching F1 and MotoGP? And he goes, it's 50%. Mm. I was astounded by that. Mm. I thought it would be 10 times more.
Mm.
He goes, yeah, 50% more people watching Formula One.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You've spoken about that many times the pod, how interesting that fact was. Now, just say you've got like a son or a daughter that's kind of into MotoGP or bikes racing, and then you've got the mum or dad that's like, I can't really be bothered. You know, it's so much harder to get them down to Phillip Island for a weekend.
Yep.
Or for the day, then just to go, oh, we can catch a bus or train into Albert Park.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to get the extra numbers. Because Phillip Island last year got 92,000 whatever through the gates for the weekend. No issues getting 200,000 through the gates. And that's going to be for the spectacle of if there's another event in Melbourne, like the tennis, the Formula One, if they did it right, which AusGP definitely would for MotoGP in Albert Park. So you've got like the notoriety of being there, and then you've got just fans that are like half fans want to see bikes that would go through that weekend, and that would really really transform sport. And just say they got 200,000 people to that event, it would, in my opinion, be the top two biggest races on the calendar. Mm. Well, not the biggest.
It would already break records being the first street circuit as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I just can't believe we're talking about this.
I know.
It just doesn't make sense to you. And would you run it in... You have to run it in October because that has to run through the calendar. You can't run it at the start of the year, I don't think, because then you're going to have...
Motorheaven.com.au, Tom Chevy, like family-owned, number one online motorcycle accessories retailer in the country.
James, you got a family-owned business.
Yep.
You got the cheapest prices. Yep. And... free shipping over $150. What else do you actually want?
There's actually nothing else you can want. The biggest brands, they are number one. We love them. OGs is a pod. Motorheaven.com.au. Check them out.
Everything at once. I mean, you got F1, MotoGP, Superbikes, Australian Open Tennis. Like, everything's in 1-2 months bracket. It's probably just sort of too much.
But then you look at October, and it's September, October is flat out. In Australia.
October's usually quiet though. You got to remember, footy's finished. Rugby's finished.
Only just finished.
Yeah, but you need... That's where the gap gets filled. But
then you've got like Bathurst.
Mm-hmm.
You've got MotoGP. I guess it's motorsport heavy. And then you've got all the concerts.
Yeah.
They're on at all that time. But October, the weather's different in October to Melbourne. This is going to sound crazy, than it is to Phillip Island as well.
Yeah. The weather's much better in Melbourne. Melbourne. But yeah, I think like, it, for me, bro, like even Avalon's a fucking stretch. I'd rather go to Phillip Island than Avalon. Like if I'm paying the ass.
I'd rather go to fucking Albert Park than Avalon.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like for me, if you're going to say, the alternative is Avalon. And I'm like, and the mum and dad with the three daughters goes, nah, I can't even fuck going to Avalon anyway. It would just be as much effort just to go to Phillip Island for the day. So that argument is where Albert Park would be the only second choice.
It's the only second choice that is such a leap in actually coming to fruition.
And for me, if it went to the Bend, it would be the worst thing possible. Boring track, absolutely no town for the fans. We've done research on this. There's everyone stays everywhere. There's no central location. And
there's a German town or something, isn't
there? Oh, Handorf. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Get a pork knuckle in you. But for me, there's really only one spot in Australia.
Now, you spoke to me about this off air. The South Australian Premier, who that's for your international listeners, is a state where the Bend is in, was speaking. They released only some of the interview he was in. At the end of the interview, he was talking about how it's such a stretch even for the Bends to get the Grand Prix. They don't expect it.
Yeah. Well, we got on Channel 7 the other week, they showed clippets of his interview, and the South Australian media got behind that by saying, oh yeah, they want it. If you actually listen to the full interview, it's more along the lines of, I don't ever really see it going here.
Mm.
I'm really just getting involved because it's a bidding war between Dorner and the Victorian government, and we don't want to be involved in that. He said that, you know, his words. So he knows that. He knows he's just
sort of been put in the line and asked a question at a press conference going, oh, would you like this? You know, just to get a clip and you know, some media attention. It was the main story on Channel 7 in Adelaide two Saturdays ago, which is wild to me, you know, having the main story. But yeah, for me, it's not likely. It's nothing. And the guy owns a circuit who's the rich... what's his name, James? Yeah,
like Hadari or Fardy, something.
Hadari. He hasn't come out and commented. He hasn't said anything.
Nothing. Refused to comment.
So he has. They asked for comment. So for me, if it was a real thing and a real effort to try to get that to Adelaide, it would be coming from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah. So you reckon...
So what happened, just going back that, going back again. There was 1 year in 89. Massive year. No one could get off the island. It was a fucking bastard case from all reports, but everyone loved it. Best thing ever. Yeah. And it was only supposed to be for 1 year.
Correct.
And then 1990 came around. They didn't have anything.
Nothing in Australia.
And then Eastern Creek from 91 to 96.
Eastern Creek from 91 to 96 because they had less strong anti-tobacco laws in advertising.
So that's the main reason.
That's the main reason. There's a cool quote that I read. Where did I have it? Where is it? Sorry, this is terrible. This is terrible podcasting.
Philip Bond didn't fail MotoGP. The business model failed MotoGP.
No, that's not it. Anyway, it's gone. But it's Eastern Creek wasn't chosen because it was better. It was chosen because it was viable, and that was the only reason that Phillip Island left.
Which that would be the bend. Don't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So why did it return in 97?
Only because they had reduced anti-tobacco laws to bring it back. And that was realistically because of Jeff Kennett.
Yep.
And changing those laws so they can get, I'm assuming, the Grand Prix, the Formula One.
Yep.
And the 500cc MotoGP bikes back in 97. And then they obviously haven't looked back. Now, spending this money on the circuit going forward in 2025... Because you got to think back then, it's a relatively new circuit, so...
Well, the thing is, this is the interesting part of that argument. It was built a long time ago.
Yeah,
it 1950s was. Or 60s, and then just forgotten about.
Mm.
And then they spent all this money, and you can correct me on this, to get it right for the 89 Grand Prix, and they fixed it all up, making it look and schmick. I just can't believe they did that for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, they did that just for 1 year. Obviously, Wayne Gardner's success helped that. You know, getting the Grand Prix there and obviously him winning a championship. But for me, it's amazing that they just did that for one year contract.
I think that shows you how much money's in tobacco.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like tobacco. I was going through something the other day with a guy from work about how much money tobacco really poured into everything. And like you look at the sports back in the 80s and 90s, like they just controlled everything. Like they just ran teams, you know. You look at Ducati in 2017, 2018, 2019, whatever it was, the factory Ducati, and it might have even been the Formula One cars, Ferraris. They had the mission win now.
Mm.
They created their own fake company to advertise Marlboros.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you got to remember, it's such strong marketing because if my favorite rider rides for Honda and they're sponsored by Rothmans, when I go to the survey to buy a pack of smokes, I'm buying a pack of Rothmans, you know? It's as simple as that. You know, if you're a big McLaren fan and you like Jack, if you like bourbon, you're going to buy Jack Daniels because they're sponsored by them.
Bro, 100%. And like I remember going out back when we were 18, 19 and we'd buy a pack of darts. You can't even see, in Australia, you can't even see the logos on the cigarettes. Mm. And I'd only buy Marlboros because they sponsored the MotoGP teams. Yeah. Hey, it's even worked then.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking nuts?
Well, you didn't even have it on. We had a Qatar. That was it. It was Marlboro in the Qatar.
Yeah, that's right. And then you'd go overseas in like Southeast Asia or whatever and see proper Marlboro packets. You go, fuck, that's so cool.
I wonder if there's anywhere in the world where it is still allowed. That's a great question. Probably in Senegal or something.
As in advertising?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I know vapes is becoming an issue because a lot of the F1 teams are sponsored by vape companies, but half the countries are banned, half the countries aren't. So
look, we're going down a rabbit hole now, but isn't like vapes, a lot of vape companies owned by cigarette companies silently?
Yeah.
You know? Phillip Island obviously came back in 97.
Yep.
And they've overcome a lot of things to get that race back. But as I was saying, the circuit was pretty new then. This is like a whole different challenge. It's not anti-tobacco laws. It's nothing like that. It's literally just to do with just the facilities. Like, it's pretty black and white. The facilities are updated. They've got the Grand Prix for another 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know...
But this is my argument. Is it really the facilities? Okay. Are we using the facilities as a scapegoat? Or is it actually MotoGP Future want 200,000 people at their events?
2016, when they re-signed for Phillip Islands, they said, we're re-signing on the proviso that by 2026, the facilities will be updated.
Yep. Yep. And they're not.
Yeah. So that's where the Albert Park argument in that case falls down. Yeah. Just in that branch of it, I guess. Mm. You know, so I would like to see it in Albert Park. In a fucking crazy world, I would like to see it. I've backflipped on that.
If the Victorian government didn't absolutely fuck us in the ass, so to speak, in COVID and have like $100 million debt.
Or spend all the money in the Commonwealth Games and not host it.
Yeah. The most viable thing would be the government just buys the fucking track off Lindsay Fox and then updates the circuit. But it's just not, we can't even help our CFA fucking volunteers. So
yeah,
we're not helping, we're not buying anything. Mm. So we spent, they said, oh, if we didn't spend the millions of dollars on the fireworks for New Year's Eve, we could have like solved world hunger or something. The homelessness is probably in Melbourne. But anyway, that's for another podcast.
Do you think spending this amount of money on the Phillip Islands circuit, whatever it is,
yep,
will help Phillip Island as a whole grow in the future? As in, no, for the economy.
No, I don't think. Probably 5 years ago, we're sitting here going, oh my God, man, Phillip Island is MotoGP. But we've been down there enough now, James. We know it's not.
Mm.
The amount of people that were throughout that main street, even on Monday, you know, Sunday night, they get bloody millions of people down there over the summer. It's just that cash injection that the businesses do rely on in October. They've had a lonely, lonely winter. Nobody goes down there in the winter except the fishermen and couple of, you know, curry tourists.
Penguin parades.
Penguin parades, yep. So for me, it's that cash injection that's needed before they get ready for the summer.
Mm.
And it may affect a couple of, you know, facilities like restaurants and stuff down there, but it's not the be all or end all for them.
No, it's not the be all or end all, but it is. Look, and I think for the pubs down there, it's their biggest, like, I know it's their biggest weekend of the year.
Mm.
You know, I've spoken to people that obviously run these pubs, and it's the biggest weekend of the year. But yeah, I think the MotoGP is just one. It's one aspect of the track, but it can bring so many more people to the islands, because like we had the Vic Road Racing Championships on this year, or on the weekend when we were down, and the pub was full of those people when we were there Sunday night. If they could have more club days, you know, you could have a hotel where people are staying at the track. Like, there's more room for people to get down there. Mm. There's more track days. There's more club days. There's just more room to bring so many more people down for another aspect, not just the bikes. Yeah. I just know cars fuck the track.
Yeah. I mean, I think a luxury hotel next to the track for even the rich dogs coming down on you know, drive days and ride days, it would make things a lot, you know, run so much smoother. And I mean, more people would come down because of that.
Yeah.
Because, dude, I don't know, I'm like a bit of a wuss, but driving down and up in one day is fucking taxing.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, like if you go down in the morning and you're doing stuff all day, then you come back that night, it's a fucking long day. Mm. Like, and I'm stuffed afterwards, you know? Like, I know my mate Andrew.
And you're a super fan.
I'm a super fan and I also love driving. Yeah. But it's just one of those drives that's just taxing, I think. I don't know what it is. But like Andrew, a mate of mine, Petru, he Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, MotoGP weekend, drives down, up, down, up, down, up. I'm like, oh, dude, 12 hours of driving over the weekend and then you're at the track all day, walking around.
I know, getting
visors and shit, you know?
Yeah. I know, we see him every year.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like...
He should start his own podcast.
And I wouldn't do that. Yes, I'm a super fan, but I would not do that. Staying down there, I'm not doing it.
Well, that's the attraction of Phillip Islands compared to going to the Benz that you've spoken about, Sydney Motorsport Park, or even Albert Park, is the what you do off the track. which is more exciting for a lot of people.
And I said that, I spoke to that Andrew during the week, and I said to him, mate, it's for me, it's I go for the party, the getting together at the pub, talking about bikes, probably not the last one, rather than actual the racing. Like for me, it's a destination. It's not, you know, the racing's the cherry on top, and I know that's it's like that for a lot of people.
It's a lot. It's like and it's like that for a lot of Grand Prix. You go to Le Mans or Mugello or whatever. It's the spectacle of being either you know at the event or the around the event is what people are drawn to.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, it does have some location challenges we're talking about, you know, distance from Melbourne, accommodation limits. I mean, that would help, you know, a 200-bedroom hotel or 200-room hotel or something next to the track. I mean, that's another 1,000 people can probably stay there.
Looking over the water?
Yeah, it'd be gorgeous. Man. It'd be really good. And still getting off the island on a Sunday night's rough for a lot of people. The public transport's still rough and then the weather. The weather's always a challenge. I know a lot of people wait. They're not going to buy their tickets early. They're going to wait till the Thursday to buy their ticket because if it's going to be pissing down all weekend, it's not worth going.
100%. In an ideal world, is it still Phillip Island number one or is it Albert Park? If just say you took money, just in fantasy land, you took money and everything out of it, is Albert Park the ideal?
No, because I still like going down to the island for the week, you know? I mean, it's the end of the day, it's at Albert Park. We're just going to go back to our houses at night.
Mm.
So, no, I still want it to go to penthouse,
looking over the track.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But the thing is, you're not, there's no pub there to go with all motorbike people. You know, some people will be in Richmond, some people will be in bloody St Kilda. Like, there's no central location. You're not at the fucking hotel in the corner with fucking Jimmy broken his leg at racing the Dakar last weekend. Legs fucked, mate.
Yeah,
you know, you're not getting that.
Nah.
You're getting fucking college boys and shit.
Pretentious.
You're getting that mixed in where, you know, it's awesome. And bro, you go there on a Sunday night, you got the riders after party and stuff, like it's fucking just hectic. Sick. And it could be the last year, James. We've got to do it. It's gonna be the biggest year. Could be Motor Heaven.
Yeah, we've got some fucking big things going.
Could it be Motor Heaven / Motorsport Republica / on track experiences? Oh my goodness. It's all happening here.
It's all happening. So put a bow on this, T Shavs. The Bend. Is it going there?
No.
Sydney Motorsport Park, is it going there?
No.
Albert Park, is it happening?
No.
What's the most likely out of all three?
It's staying at Phillip Island.
Take Phillip Island out. What's the most likely?
they're all 0%.
They're all zero.
It's not happening. It will not happen. Mark my words.
Phillip Island, 100% locked in.
I'm at 69%.
Fucking hell. And everything else is 0%. Did a mass.
No, 69%, it's staying.
Yeah.
31%, it's leaving Australia altogether.
Wow, okay. That'll be a fucking sad day, bro.
69 Breakfast of Champions.
He's a Breakfast of Champions. T-Shavs, we got some hot takes and some... because it's Australia Day, we put out the question to the fans, give us some of your favorite Aussie moments.
Yep.
I'm going to go through a few of them, relive those old memories. First one, we've got Marty3478 being old enough to have watched Wayne Gardner's first win at the Islands.
Yeah, 89,
you know. And what a start, really. You know, we like how Wayne kind of rolls on about that a little bit on Instagram.
Not as bad as Lorenzo. They're probably...
Lorenzo is a fucking cartoon character, and we love it. We're here for it. At DSilver87S, your boy,
yep.
Jewel of South.
Jewel of the South. He's been quiet lately. He's struggling in the South Carolina winter.
Yeah, apparently it's all like iced over.
Yeah,
half
zero Fahrenheit at the moment.
Zero Fahrenheit. Yeah, why are they Fahrenheit, weirdo Americans? Rossi's 10-second win on that Repsol Honda when he got a penalty, which is amazing.
04?
03? 03?
I'm going to give you a little bit of a tidbit on that one. That could be my earliest MotoGP memory.
I like that.
I did go to the race in 02. I was there. Yes.
Fuck, you went a year before me.
Yes.
I was 03.
03, I went qualifying day. I didn't go race day. I watched race day on the TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's my earliest memory is watching it on TV.
On 03.
03 and him getting that penalty.
Yeah.
I thought it was 04 though, but anyway.
04 is on the Yamaha.
You're right.
Beautiful, beautiful Sunday fighting Sede Gibernau.
Mm.
But that was, yeah.
And clear memories of that. Like,
bro, I know.
It was,
which one? 04, 03?
No, 03.
Bro, same.
I just got the clearest meme. I remember it coming up on the TV saying 10-second penalty, Valentino Rossi, and then just gunning it. Like,
bro, the hype around Troy Bayliss crashes at Honda in like the second lap. We should do one of our Patreon episodes on that race. That'll be a fun one to look back on. Mm. And pissing down. I remember pissing down rain all fucking weekend.
Why did he get the penalty?
He overtook yellow flag.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And it was just like an in-race penalty, and then just fucking gave it hell to everyone else. Just showed everyone how good he was on that bike that was amazing. But yeah, first time I walked into the Grand Prix, I remember looking over the fence. First person I saw zoom past me was Casey Stoner on the 125. Wow. I'll never, ever, ever forget it in the spray. Fuck, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
It was so good. And the smell of the two strokes.
That was our earliest memory, walking through turn one. Gate one, and like...
Oh my God, man. Yeah. I'll never, ever... Yeah. Fuck, I'll never forget it. So good. Just can't replicate that, can you? George.wall, you know, and he's smashing his head through a seagull whilst leading the biggest race. Amazing. You can't... how good's that? A lot of people putting in Rossi destroying the grid on that Repsol Honda day.
Yeah.
It's called Papa Miller getting a corner named after him for no reason has to be one of them. It's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, God. Was it a bit early?
100%, bro. Jack Miller. I'm wearing his merch.
I'm trying to stay on the fence, but yeah, it's a bit early.
He won a race in Moto3.
Yeah, carry on.
Underscore Derek Hall. American here. No fucking idea, mate. I like that. Aussies Americans gonna keep together. Chris at STNFNCNG. Chris Emilian Le Mans in the rain 2007. What a boy. Love that. Andy underscore Lawson. Miller calling Neil Hodgson a wanker on live TV. Phillip Island 2015.
that was a good year.
At Reese J. Bentley. It has to be Casey Stoner winning at Phillip Island in 2011 on his birthday and clinching the title.
We were there.
Lorenzo lost the tip of his finger in that practice session.
Yes, he did. Oh, the warm-up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been the warm-up.
And turn 12.
Yeah, turn 11, turn 12. And it was about, bro, I reckon it was under 15 bikes on that grid. Mm. That was just before the CRT era. 450 underscore Pringle Stoner winning the title on the unwinnable Ducati. Which is a great one. Jack Miller, Jerez at I underscore Prinz 05 when Jack Miller won on the Ducati in Jerez. That was fucking came out of nowhere that week, didn't it?
It did. Well, it was quarter hour leading and then got an arm pump.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good memory. I was trying to think who was leading that race.
That was potentially Bathurst weekend. I don't know. Was it? No, it wouldn't have been.
It's Jerez.
Stupid. I just remember being absolutely fucking like... so pissed watching that for some reason. And my dad always yells, like, come on, Jack. Come on, Jack. And I was yelling at the TV. I couldn't see straight. I don't know what I was doing that day, but fucking hell.
Maybe you should be more pissed on more races. Give him a fucking bit of a get up and go.
Good luck, charm.
Reigning number one ticket holder, Willie Nels, doing giving it to Crivier in the pits on live TV.
I'm going to send Willie his bloody, his price back. Sorry, Willie. No. Well, Nelson.
Giving it to Crivier in the pits on live TV, Eastern Creek 1996 after he got punted is some fucking awesome footage.
Jeez, that's a good one. Really good one. That's thinking outside the box.
He's fucking good.
It's a be there, like, yeah, you had to be there moment watching that, like, live and fucking having crazy.
At this last one, at JDE.27, Stoner and Doohan's last Oz GP on the Repsols and Bayliss's last ever lap at World Superbikes. I remember watching that last ever lap in World Superbikes. It was fucking heroic.
That's awesome.
Hot takes, T-Shavs.
Beautiful.
Some early kind of predictions going into 2026. The KDM's been revealed. Looks exactly like Aprilia, which I love. So hopefully they've put some fucking really good R&D into that bike. I don't know if you've seen it, but it...
That Indian money.
Yeah, but I want KDM to be up there, man. Mm. And it looks like a fucking Aprilia.
And what's going on? Vinales taking a Costa seat already. Costa signed with Ducati. Called on this podcast with Jack Appleyard.
Yeah.
Sounds like the monopoly things are falling, aren't they?
Bro, crazy. Mm. Well, that's like all the news coming out.
In the coming weeks, we're going to have, obviously, a, you know, preview show of the season.
Yeah.
We're going to go through all this in detail. So, that's something to really be excited about over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And give all our predictions, our 22-1.
Yeah. We're horrendously wrong. last year.
But. Yep, we always are. We've got some specials coming through as well.
Yeah,
which is exciting. All right, first one off the rank at @key_ahu. Furman coming off a Rookie of the Year campaign. I can see him go top five.
Broken leg, but
broken fucking
gonna
leg.
Miss, gonna miss the Sepang test from all reports.
Yeah. Jorge Martin's doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yes. Or is it Burium test he's missing? I'm sorry, I haven't.
Sepang.
I think it's Sepang. But it's just a shakedown test. It's not anything to get too excited about. You got to be there in Burium, though.
Bro, you got to be there in fucking Malaysia, honestly. You got to be there. Bro, yeah, Furman, you got to be there because you just come off a rookie season. Jorge Martin, sure as shit, needs to be there. Can't miss so much fucking racing.
Morbidelli's staying on the 24 bike as well. Did you hear about that?
No.
So he's staying on the 24 bike, not doesn't want to go on the 25 at all.
And they can do that?
Yep. So he's been on the 24 bike. He's going to be on the 24 bike. It wouldn't be 3 years in a row, would it? 2 years in a row. He was obviously went to 23 to 24, staying on the 24.
And the 24 bike's a good bike, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the MY26 is a shiny brand new 24. From
but he did fuck all on the 24 last year anyway. So it's not going to make a difference. The cunt's going to be fucking 15th.
God, it's everyone who, like, Rossi came out during the week and had a little interview. Fox Sports put it out. They, just the comments, just crucifying Morbidelli. It's a, what people have finally woken up. It's amazing.
Yeah, they've been listening to this podcast. That's what's happening. Mm. @George.Wall. Crazy shout. Jack Miller to finish above Top Rack. Top Rack will struggle to get on the Michelin tires.
That's not a crazy shout,
though. Not a crazy shout.
That's going to happen. You got to expect this guy. This guy's year is 27. Yeah. If he's going to do anything in MotoGP,
I just don't, bro. There's a lot of hype. So many people talking to me. Top Rack, Top Rack, Top Rack. Biggest name. Like, that is the person that everyone's talking to me personally about the most. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't see him even cracking top 10 in the championship.
Mm.
I just don't. Like, fucking Quartararo only just did.
I know, but dude, but like fucking Raul Fernandez won a race this year.
I know, but wild. The Aprilia is a fucking great motorcycle.
I know, it's wild. You're right. I mean, Yamaha's not a good motorcycle, nor is Top Rack used to a MotoGP bike, so it's a double whammy.
On Michelin tyres, like, I'm sure he might have, maybe he might have some good results, but like, people are like, oh, he's going to be fighting for a podium or fighting Marc Marquez. In your fucking dreams, he's fighting Marc Marquez.
It's going to be a crash fest for him. That's my thinking.
Yeah, on the V4. We'll be interesting to see how that goes. @Frosty.Heat, Bags and Martin behind expectations. Bez fights Marquez to the end.
Don't know. I mean, one-on-one, did Bez actually win one-on-one fight last year?
No, he got bullied out of all.
Like, he would have won Indonesia until he ran into the back of him. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, there's only
three. That's a great point.
Well, I mean, look at Hungary and look at, you know,
Assen.
Assen was the same thing. He toyed with him.
Mm.
He toyed with him, so... Yeah, he's improved and amazing, and he won races when Mark was injured, but he didn't one-on-one contest, did not win one.
No one's talked about that. That's a fucking interesting call you just made, Dan.
Thank you.
And, you know, Bez came out and said, when I saw Marquez 0.8 behind me, my stomach sunk. Shouldn't have said that in the media.
Worse than you could possibly
fucking
say.
Doing a Pecco Bagnaia right there. Like, I get why you would say that maybe after the heat of battle.
I don't mind his honesty. Yeah. But just keep that one to yourself.
Fucking hell. Because, like, Marquez is just, we'll just use that, you know, we'll just use that as fuel.
As motivation. Yeah. 100%.
At Sean Cody, Martin will perform better than Bez this year. Fucking huge call, bro.
Martin. Yeah, no, you don't sleep on Martin, though. Don't sleep on him, please.
I'm fucking snoozing. I've pressed snooze.
God,
six
am
times.
I going to put him in my top three? That's going to be the big question.
I hope you do.
See if I can squeeze him in.
Our boy, Derek Hall. Bez won't come good till the second half of the season. Marini, best Honda rider.
Why wouldn't Bez come good until the second half? That doesn't make sense to me.
He kind of did that this last year, but yeah, that kind of doesn't make sense to me. He should be gung-ho.
No, I mean, it was an adjustment for him on the Aprilia. That's why it took so long to...
What about Marini, best Honda?
I mean, rider. He hasn't got much competition.
He was injured last year, but he had some good rounds.
They seem
so
to...
So did fucking Mir.
The motorcycle world seems to rate Marini higher than Mir, and Mir's a world champion. I just find that fascinating.
Younger, maybe?
Yeah, but Jesus, that's a world champion we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, Asterix.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Richmond premiership as well.
Add super underscore sausage. Super underscore silly sausage. Juan Mir to win at least 3 GPs and finish top 3 in the standings.
That's
how funny is that?
did you have that up your sleeve, did you?
I just put him in order. No. He's not going to win 3 GPs, no. But either Honda's going to be considerably better again. At Andrew.edzar, Alex Marquez, world champion.
Oh, what?
That's going to fucking knock your socks off. Bro, if Alex Marquez wins the world championship this year, I'll do the end of season review show in the nude.
I mean, I think it's a pretty safe bet.
It's a safe bet. But if something's going to... If I'm going to jinx myself, I'll be on something like that. And I'd love to see him as world champion. You did a bet with me about doing an episode of Nude, and it was fucking pretty close.
It was close, yeah.
At Mr. Ducky underscore 09, Maverick is a sleeper. He's been training the heck out of himself with cartoon cheeseburger.
No. And James, I'll go on record as well. I think Mav's going to have a really, really good year.
Give us a sneak. Give me a sneak of your top 20.
No. Stay tuned.
Is he top 10?
Yeah, he's top 10. Jeez, he's almost top 5.
Fucking hell.
I'm going to have about 15 people in my top 5.
At JDE27, last one. Phillip Island will be packed this year if it's the last ever. And Senna to top 3 Moto2. Like that. Like that.
Yeah, Senna's, by all reports, training the house down. So... that's looking good. Exciting. It's Moto2. We haven't even thought about talking about it, but that's probably the more exciting championship out of all of them. So
that's your championship.
Yeah. All right, guys, stay tuned. We're going to hop over to Patreon now for extra chats.
Sign up to our Patreon. We love everyone on Patreon. We answer a lot of questions. Talk
Patreon.motorsportrepublica/motorsportrepublica. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.